Here's what you can look forward to in today's episode.
But the speed of decision-making is so much faster, and particularly, not surprisingly, among companies like GoDaddy or internet-based companies, you know, our executives are going to make decisions. They need to make decisions very quickly. They will make them with or without my insights. And I really, really, really want them to have my insights to make the better decisions.
Over the last decade, the market research industry has been disrupted. Our largest agencies are struggling to keep up as their customers turn to newer, faster, and cheaper data sources. Now, we are on the edge of yet another major market shift. Now is the time for us to reassert ourselves as the rudder of the brands we love. Thank you for tuning in to the Happy Market Research Podcast, where we are charting the path for the future of market researchers and businesses. Hi, I'm Jamin Brazil, and you're listening to the Happy Market Research Podcast. Today, my guest is Lori Ivantosh-James, Senior Director of Customer and Market Research at GoDaddy. GoDaddy is the largest registrar of internet domains and offers a full range of tools to help you build your online presence. Prior to working at GoDaddy, Lori has been a leader at top market research firms and technology companies. Additionally, she is a PhD candidate in educational psychology, specializing in quantitative methods at UC Berkeley. Lori, thank you very much for being on the Happy Market Research Podcast today.
I'm happy to be here.
We'd like to start out with a little bit of a background on, you know, even before your career. Tell us about your parents and how they have affected who you are today.
Absolutely. My father was a small business owner. He owned a small variety store in Montclair, California, not too far from here. And I worked at his store a number of summers when I was a teenager and always enjoyed it. But, you know, overall, I developed a deep appreciation of small business by observing my father and how hard he worked. And how much pleasure he got out of his store, his employees, and also just the whole local community. His store, Freeway Variety, it was called, was just super, super popular. And it's funny because I was contacted by a group who have a Facebook page called Forgotten Montclair, and they have a whole bunch of posts all about Freeway Variety, reminiscing about it and the candy counter, et cetera. And so just the impact of that small business. And so really in my career, I've had a variety of roles, but my favorite has been where I get an opportunity to work with small businesses. I just find their passion to be incredibly inspiring. And it certainly is one of the reasons I chose to go to GoDaddy.
GoDaddy, it has a suite of tools that extend beyond just domain registration, right? That help aid small businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I think, again, one of the exciting things about being here is while we're best known as a domain registrar, certainly in the US, but also worldwide, we also offer a whole suite of tools for small businesses to kind of grow their online presence, how they show up online. So it's both websites, if you want to do it yourself, or we can build it for you, all sorts of different tools for really growing that your customer base through email marketing, through online marketing and digital tools. We have email and productivity tools. And now, just more recently, we acquired a company that focuses on social media management and how all of those different things kind of come together to help those small businesses succeed.
Yeah, having that, I'll call it early career, right? It's the pre-college. as a small business owner, I'd imagine your father had you in the store fairly regularly and getting that firsthand experience of what it was like to successfully grow and maintain. I imagine that perspective helps inform sort of your hypotheses when you're conducting research.
It does. You know, and I think that, again, you know, just really understanding kind of that mindset. And in the end, everything is on their shoulders, the small business owner. And so figuring out how you can really help make their lives easier in a variety of different ways to just lighten up that load. I mean, the good news is it's also incredibly powerful and exciting for them because they are, you know, again, running their business and making it happen. But there are so many different things that they need to do at any given time. And to the degree that we can try and help them and make it easier for them. And of course, again, many moons ago, when I was working at my father's store, we didn't have the kind of tools that we have now to help make small businesses successful. It was obviously not a whole lot of digital was going on at that point.
Yeah, it definitely has changed the landscape. But I do think, especially at the SMB level, I'm talking about like brick and mortar SMB, that customer experience is one of the primary differentiators versus like an Amazon or whatever big box you might want to throw at it. And it's funny how these companies or small companies are leveraging more and more insights integrated into their POSs to help govern, you know, take a temperature of their customer, whether it's satisfaction or repeat purchase behaviors or that sort of thing. So it is a much higher level of sophistication that is operating really at that, you know, at the street level.
Absolutely. And it's wonderful. I mean, technology has provided so much more. And again, in some cases, I think for small businesses, it can be kind of overwhelming. Because there's so much data and so many things, and what do I pay attention to, and what does it really mean, and where do I invest my money, and what's the return on investment for it? So while it's awesome and wonderful, it's also pretty intimidating. And the other thing that you said, and I think it's super important, is really when you do spend time talking to small businesses, one of the things that is really most important to them is the service they provide. And you know, 9 times out of 10, they will say that is their key differentiator. And again, particularly the local small businesses, that service and knowing their customers and providing that extra level of service is just huge in terms of their business and how they feel about being able to serve their customers.
That's fine. This coming Tuesday, I'm going to be conducting a how to do satisfaction to increase your income, lunch and learn here in Fresno, where I'm inviting a bunch of small businesses to come in, and I'm just going to walk them through some free tools on how they can track that customer satisfaction and actually generate an ROI based on those numbers. But you're right. There's like it's super intimidating for these guys and gals because they don't understand the research basics. And it is a huge opportunity to help improve and shore up their customer relationships. So, obviously SurveyMonkey, you're familiar with their recent filing for their IPO, big player in this space. Does GoDaddy have aspirations to move that direction, you think?
That's a really interesting point. I think we definitely, given kind of the place that we are in terms of helping small businesses succeed and all those tools. So some of those tools are going to be very kind of quantitative in terms of helping them get stats on their website or, you know, again, ROI on an email campaign, et cetera. At the moment, that kind of, you know, direct query isn't really, you know, high on the list, at least that I've been aware of. But I do think that it is part of where we would help guide small businesses to really understand their customers. And that's, you know, certainly surveys, you know, interviews, et cetera, really any way that they are able to get closer to their customers. And that's something that's really kind of in our DNA at GoDaddy. Is how do we get super close to our customers, keep our finger on the pulse of our customers. And truthfully, I think for any small business, that is truly one of their key elements of their success.
So I teach an MBA course on entrepreneurship, and I spend a little bit of time, I say a little bit of time, about 4 hours actually of total class time, talking about the importance of building your network and their peers will, you know, who are, you know, I would say call it 28, fairly early in their career, are going to be the CEOs, the CMOs, the head of insights of companies in 20 years, right? So you certainly, nobody starts their career as an executive. Can you kind of walk us through your career path, both on the agency side and then how that's helped you in your delivery of insights inside of major brands like GoDaddy?
Yeah, Sure. I'd be happy to. I think I did start, I started in academia for many years at Berkeley, and that's really where I kind of developed my affinity for more quantitative metrics and measures. But I worked on the agency side or the vendor side for many years, and it was a terrific way to kind of grow your expertise, to learn about all the different kinds of methodologies, different industries, and grow and kind of build your expertise. But what I did find after a number of years is that, you'd do these projects and they would be terrific and wonderful, and you'd present the results and you'd hand it off, and then you're on to your next project and your next project. And what I really came to miss or feel like I needed is to see where those projects actually went. So how did those projects really drive the business? What, business decisions did they make? How did they inform and change the business? And so that's part of why I moved over into the what we call client side, as in, being the expert in a business, is that to me, one of the most exciting things I can do is do some really great research and then help and see how that research informs our executives, informs decisions, and really helps steer the company to better decisions. And to me, that is just the pinnacle of success, I guess, for my kind of world, is not just doing great research, which is good, but doing great research that helps drive the business and helps the business make key decisions in a really intelligent, informed way.
Yeah, Christy Zolke of Knowledge Hound. I did an interview with her. I think it just went public actually on Friday. But awesome. she was talking about research needs to have an ROI, and I love that framing. And I really feel like if researchers could either internal or external, agencies or internal managers of research at brands could, get their head around that. Thinking about, for example, companies' churn rates, we have as researchers an awesome opportunity to do follow-up research on a subset of the customers that churn in order to understand how we can help eliminate that attrition. And that's super easy to be able to create a direct connection to revenue. Are you seeing that sort of direct connection to revenue as a major part of the output of research?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, depending on the type of research we do, one of the things that more recently, we have a new CEO, Scott Wagner, who moved into the role about 6-9 months ago, and he is completely customer obsessed, really, really passionate about the customer. So much so that when he really first started, he said, you know what, my bonus is going to be tied to net promoter, our customer's loyalty. That's what my bonus is. In fact, the whole company is going to be bonused on net promoter. And you have no idea what, the kind of everybody from our technical people to, of course, the people who are doing research are all taking a big gulp. But it's awesome because it's this incredible passion for it. And so, needless to say, while we were doing net promoter for many years, this really changed the game. When you start thinking about net promoter is going to become one of, our key metrics, our KPIs, and associated with our bonuses. And so we've done a ton of additional research and really have been able to do some interesting kind of predictive modeling around lifetime value of our customers and how that ties back to net promoter and what the kind of customers are, where customers might be churning and falling off, and what does that really mean to us? And so, yeah, I think there are definitely ways to be able to turn kind of research into a really more predictive modeling and give us great direction in terms of what we can do, really to increase the loyalty of our customers, to retain our customers, and to build that deep loyalty.
Oh my gosh! So the couple of things I just got to unwind a little bit. One is Scott, your new CEO. I love how he created a unifying KPI across the organization that really drives that bonus. And to how you described it, how then that completely changes the view of Net Promoter, right? And you know, whether Net Promoter is or isn't the right isn't really the point here. The point is that they're putting the customer in the middle of the conversation when you're making decisions on, you know, where are we going to invest in from an R&D perspective, sales focus, et cetera, et cetera. And as you're saying, you know, getting, you know, moving from a laggard to a forward-looking KPI where you're, you know, modeling outcomes based on our predictions based on changes of behavior. I mean, that is fundamentally exactly, I think, the right way for research to be able to help steer the ship.
Absolutely. And you know, you said it right. There's many people who disagree or argue about Net Promoter and is it predictive and is it the right measurement. But to your, it's not Net Promoter per se. It's that focus on the customer and the focus on doing right by the customer. And so the number, while we track it and we've definitely built out a pretty robust system, it's more importantly, what are they saying? You know, what's behind it? And when we see problems, you know, and detractors, you know, are popping up and we really dig in to try and understand what's driving it, that's where the real gold is. The number, it's helpful, you know, but the gold is in understanding what is driving the number and the customer promotion. Great, and or detraction. And that has proven to be super helpful for us. We've got a boatload of different projects targeted at key areas we've identified from our Net Promoter program and are really making great strides. And again, it goes back to, you know, previously it was a harder sell to say we need to do this maybe as change in our renewal pricing and what's the benefit. It was very hard to sell a benefit without the numbers behind it and competing with, well, yeah, but here's the revenue we get. And so now we're in a better, much better position to be able to really quantify the benefit and the return by making some of these changes.
What is the number one gap that you're seeing in the market research space, and specifically what you wish market research firms would offer in order to help you do your job?
Oh, and I'm sure you've probably heard this in a bunch of your conversations. For me, it's speed. I've been in research for many years, and there was a time where you have a discussion with your client, and you talk to a vendor, and then you go back and forth, and then you start the research, and literally a couple months go by before you have your insights, and then you go back to your client who, you know, is excited to see the results, et cetera. And you, but again, it's like, everybody was pretty comfortable with that, but the speed of decision-making is so much faster, and particularly, not surprisingly, among companies like GoDaddy or internet-based companies, you know, our executives are going to make decisions. They need to make decisions very quickly. They will make them with or without my insights. And I really, really, really want them to have my insights to make the better decisions. And so from my perspective, that's where I am kind of caught in that catch 22 is, you know, being able to get insights very quickly, be pretty confident in the accuracy of those insights. And so speed for me is really key, and being able to turn research around, not in 3 months or 2 months, but in a couple days or maybe 2 weeks, is critical. And so the tools that help me to do that and the services that help me to do that are definitely, you know, areas where we focus and we constantly try and look at what's new out there that allows us to do that.
It takes a ton of time to canvas the current suite of, I'll call it new tech in market research. And these are companies that have been around for like maybe less than 4 years.
Yeah. I get deluged with emails from folks. And again, for me, it's really what's unique. What's new? What is going to really make my job easier? And if that's not pretty obvious, then there's not going to be a conversation.
So great. The importance of having your unique value proposition dialed in, and then making sure, and then listening. So this is one of my big pet peeves, is if you pay attention to brands, they're telling you what they want at a at a social level. And so, if you're just monitoring that, you can start identifying where you might be able to help add value to them, which then hopefully informs how you're presenting your solution to the company. And I'll just going to say it just completely plainly, and that is obviously ROI on research and speed to insight, right? So I mean, just tethering those two things into your overall solution, and I'm talking about real delivery here, not just words, right? That's where the value is. And my hypothesis is part of the issue with market research is we haven't done a great job of getting in front of the trends in data. And so, meaning specifically speed to insights. So that's left a lot of white space for what's now been termed CX or customer experience. And I'm seeing a lot of overlap in terms of the types of projects that are done, whether it's satisfaction, customer segmentation, et cetera, across these two disciplines. How are you addressing that inside of GoDaddy?
Yeah, no, that's great. I think, and I have certainly in my experience seen where customer experience, user experience is a completely separate organization from, quote, research and or market research. And I think that's just a big miss. At GoDaddy, we actually have part of my team is both the market research and as well as the user experience and the customer experience research. And so we span across all sorts of different projects, but where the insights are really what's critical is bringing those together. And so by having us all report into kind of the same organization that gives that broader picture, we're able to be a lot more holistic in how we present our insights, how we look across insights to be able to confirm and or leverage other insights. And so like my CX or UX group is very, very close with our product teams, and they work directly with the product teams in trying to figure out how the customer's using our products, how that end-to-end flow of our products is a good experience or not in some cases. They do lots of benchmarking to try and understand how we are getting better in that end-to-end flow and also how we stack up against the competition. And that's great compliments to some of the other research we're doing that may be looking at, you know, again, obviously Net Promoter comes in here because we look at our product Net Promoter. And how is that, you know, that's the ultimate kind of big picture goal. So we have insights at many, many different levels, and the ability to have them kind of all come together and be able to look at that is, I think, extremely helpful. And it also fosters great work across. And so, you know, again, my market researchers work with my UX researchers, and there's no silos involved there where they can really do complementary work and leverage each other's work. And I think that one of the things I also really encourage people to do is bring in the analytics folks. And again, they are not currently part of my org, but there's tons of opportunity to leverage our insights to drive better testing, and analytics to be able to put more information around what those trends mean and the why behind some of the analytics that we see and some of the tests that we see. And so that's another area where we're really trying to become much more integrated. Again, all about insights.
One of the themes I've been hearing that's come up is the so what and now what of research. And you can thank Rohair for that at LinkedIn. I love that sort of ending of, okay, we've done this stuff, but now we have to actually put a stake in the ground. And, that helps the business drive itself forward. It's interesting how you guys are unifying your insights underneath the market research largely, and then helping the entire organization seeing the benefit of that. I think one of the dysfunctions inside of organizations is speed to insights, or the necessity for speed to insight, has really fostered the utilization of tools that are easy to use to get to the customer voice. But without having that broader view, they can offer conflicting outcomes or hypotheses to the business, which ultimately isn't helping anybody.
No, and there's so many examples of, you know, of where if you looked purely at the numbers, you know, like website conversion, and this was a company I used to be at, and they did something that I thought was really a bad idea from a customer view, but they saw conversion go up, and everybody was high-fiving and celebrating, but I happened to have the an intercept a survey on the website to be able to get the experience as well. And oh my goodness, you should have seen the results from that survey, though. Even conversion was going up. Customers were furious about this particular change, particularly a subgroup of customers. And so without that, everybody would have kept going with this one particular approach that was, again, just a really bad customer experience, purely because the numbers, if you were just looking at conversion, it looked pretty good. So I'm a big fan of having both the hard quant and the behavioral stuff and that deeper understanding of what's really behind it.
Yeah. I mean, it starts moving, you know, revenue is 100% a laggard indicator, right? And so that's exactly the point. You can make changes to your business and have lift short term, but you need to understand what the next 6 months are going to look like in today's competitive market, or you're going to be without customers really quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's shift gears a little bit. A subset of our audience, and this actually surprised me that this group was latching onto the podcast, are people that are aspiring to be insights professionals, whether they're at the agency level or at the brand level. What steps would you take if you were trying to get hired in the market research industry today?
Sure. Recently hired somebody, so I can talk to that. I mean, when I look at resumes all the time, I think one of the things that really, for me, distinguishes a person is their ability to quantify the impact of their work. And it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do, because oftentimes we do research that will drive a decision, but by the time it's really quantified, like as in going into market, et cetera, it's pretty far down the train. And so one of the things I really recommend, and I know I look for, is quantification of impact for your research. I don't care that you can do 15 studies in a month. In fact, I'd wonder about that, but I don't care about that. I don't care about the beautiful methodological purity of a particular study or, you know, that. What I really want to know is the impact of the kind of research you do, because when somebody can share that basically tells me that they're thinking about research driving decisions, research driving change. If you don't present that, then it's really easy to seem like you don't care as much about what the end result of your research is. And so I think that into quantifying impact is super important. Don't just give me a list of all the methods you can do and, you know, that you're very skilled at one thing or another. I think the other one, and I already mentioned it, is just that familiarity and comfort with analytics. Analytics is a critical piece of really any company's insights. And so as a researcher and really an insight professional, you have to be super comfortable with that and understand how that can be leveraged by your research and vice versa, how your research can be leveraged by the analytics. And I think that in this day and age is pretty critical that you're able to be able to do that and really give examples about how you've been able to leverage more of the analytics and testing. And then finally, you know, I obviously we talk about it. I think if you, in terms of being able to get, you know, find the right fit is, no surprise, a lot of networking. And it's not like I'm telling anything that is a big surprise, but keeping those contacts with people you've worked with in the past is super important. But the other thing that I do think is something that not everybody thinks about is also keeping those contacts with your vendors, your market research firms. I've stayed in contact with a lot of ones that I've used over the years or continue to use. And interestingly enough, a lot of times if they've got a really good relationship within a company, they know about opportunities and jobs that are becoming available and can actually recommend you. So I'm a big fan of saying, hey, stay close to your favorite vendors. And if you are looking, you know, obviously you might want to be kind of quiet about it, but there are ways of being able to leverage their connection to a lot of other companies and in a way that can be super beneficial for you. So I think that that's one of the things that not everybody thinks about, but works really well.
I want to just dive in a little bit on the point that you made about impact of insights or research-driven decisions, as you said, which is going to be my quote for this episode, by the way. I love that. You know, in order to pull that off successfully, what you've got to do is you've got to have both the capacity to operate at a macro level and a micro level, right? So you've got to understand what the business cares about, in this case, NPS slash and revenue. And then you've got to be able to create that at an execution level, you know, the insights that ultimately deliver on whatever that hypothesis is, you know, that consumer-based assumption. Are you using, and we all know that analytics are, you know, the cornerstone of research, especially today. It feels like it's becoming a bigger and bigger part of every organization, you know, data scientists being one of the top jobs, I believe now, and hardest to fill. Qualitative and quantitative, what proportion of your budget or time is spent on those two, across those two disciplines?
That's a good question. I think certainly when it comes to more of our UX research, that by nature tends to be a lot more qualitative, you know, small group, intensive, you know, sitting in front of a computer with using our product. And so that portion of my group is probably, I don't know, maybe 75% qualitative by nature of what they're doing and how they're doing it. My side and more of the marketing research side is probably more quantitative. And so again, I'd probably flip that and say maybe 75%. As a whole, we're probably about 50-50 by the time you put them both together. Because I think that they fit really, obviously they fit well. It's like that qualitative is wonderful and helpful and just gives you so much richness and depth, but you also need to be able to then say, and this quantitatively is actually, you know, validated by these numbers and give, again, you know, when you think about your executives, that they're going to want some numbers behind that rich, deep data. And so we do both, probably, as I said, on an average, probably about 50-50.
I'm seeing a lot of firms incorporating both qualitative and quantitative into their research report, in the final delivery of the research reports, with the intent of building stories inside of the numbers, right? Which is a big shift from how it was over 20 years ago when I started my career, which is a bunch of pie charts and tables, right?
Yeah, I do think you're right. And especially, I mean, as I said, I'm quite lucky in being at a company that is so passionate about customers. But, you know, just that story and that closeness to customers. And, you know, we do a ton of customer immersion activities and not truly, quote, research. But, you know, our executives, I've organized a number of what we call follow me homes, where they go out and spend a couple hours with a small business and really just immerse themselves in their day-to-day life, their challenges, their issues, et cetera. So it's not true research, but it is a huge benefit both to our executives, but also across our entire company, to just bring you closer to that small business, to their experience, to their pain. And I just think it's a super important piece of it. And it does. And when I'm sharing some research with them, I can bring out and say, oh, and by the way, here's Marsha, and this is her experience. And, you know, you might even have a video clip. And it just brings it to life so much better.
I love the incorporation of videos in quantitative presentations, by the way. I think it's super, super powerful. Characteristics of an all-star employee. At GoDaddy, what are you seeing? That who are the people that are standing out? And I don't mean like names. I mean more specifically, like what traits do they have?
Yeah, this is great. Not surprisingly, I'll go back to two things that I've already mentioned, which is the passion for a customer. You know, again, I have a number of people in my team, and you I don't think we would be very successful researchers if we didn't have that kind of underlying passion for the customer and to understand them and to represent their needs. So that's super important. And not everybody has that, honestly. I think speed, being able to be scrappy when appropriate. You know, if you're, I've got a big project that's going on that is extremely strategic, long-term vision. That's a project I'm probably not going to try and be scrappy with because it's way too big and the risks, et cetera. But for the most part, the majority of our research needs to be pretty speedy in whichever way we can do that. So I think speed is important. One of the other things, and you may see this also, is I call it just, I think the folks who are extraordinarily curious, and curious in that they don't just take things at face value. You know, maybe you give them a report, they look at one chart and got it. You know, that I think that curiosity and that constant questioning is actually incredibly valuable because it challenges you. It challenges you to think differently. It may uncover unexpected things that, again, if you were just looking at, you know, here's my hypothesis, it's true or it's not. And so I definitely see that as a characteristic that is extraordinarily important in, at least on my team, people who are really successful, is that constant questioning, curiosity, just wanting to dig in and really get into the details to understand kind of the deeper why behind it.
I don't know if you have checked out my GoDaddy account, but I've been a long time user. I have a ton of domains. I don't know why I have this, like, I'll come up with this domain. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's such a great name for a company. And then anyway, I've got this graveyard inside of my GoDaddy account of these fantastic domains that I still love and renew. It's hilarious.
Someday, you know what? Someday you'll come back and go, this is the perfect one, right?
Totally. I know. And I'm not willing to give them up. It's so funny. Yep. So what is GoDaddy offering right now that has you excited for the consumer market?
Yeah. Oh, consumer. Interesting. Well, you know, what's fascinating, particularly there is, I talk a lot about small business. We talk a lot about small business, but what we realize is that, you know, there's this very kind of gray scale going from a consumer to a small business. And we actually have tons of consumers who have our domains, who have websites or blogs, and they vary. There's a lot of different kinds of consumers who are thinking about, you know what, I'm going to have a domain name with my name or my children's name. Maybe that's something I want to do because someday I'll use it. Or maybe I have an idea that I'd love to do. I don't have time now, but to your point, great company name. Someday I'm going to get there. So we have a lot of really interesting folks who are, we kind of call them dreamers in some cases, where they may be currently 9 to 5, et cetera, but they have dreams of becoming a small business. Or maybe they have dreams of just having what we call side hustle. A side hustle is incredibly common nowadays. Lots of people have, maybe they sell on Etsy or eBay, or they do, you know, something on their own. And so there's this spectrum of, you know, from consumer to small business, and we actually serve all of that. So it's not just small business, even though we talk a lot about small business, and their needs are generally kind of greater because their revenue, their livelihood is tied to it. But we also have a pretty big array of customers and these folks who are kind of what we would call maybe side hustle or independent contractors who also have really significant needs for their online presence. And even people, you know, who want to just have a website to share maybe their church information or their kids' soccer team. So we cater to and try to understand across that entire spectrum, not just small business, but, you know, across all of that. And again, oftentimes people start with, you know, a blog or maybe their social media, and that kind of morphs into their side hustle and potentially their business over time. And so we want to be part of that journey.
My guest today has been Lori Ivantosh James, Senior Director of Customer and Market Research at GoDaddy. Lori, thank you very much for being on the Happy Market Research podcast.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And thank you, everyone who's been subscribing to our show. Our listenership continues to grow. I would really appreciate it if you'd take time to leave a review on Apple Podcast, or of course, you can interact with us directly on any of our social media channels. Have a wonderful rest of your day.